Good morning. Jesus is our cornerstone, amen? We're built upon Him. That's what we're going to learn about today in 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And we're going to be in the second chapter. And what we have here is that Jesus is called a living stone. And He's called the cornerstone. And the imagery in this chapter is that He's putting together a temple, a spiritual house. And if you have trusted in Christ, you are part of that spiritual house. You have been placed into that spiritual house. You were once dead stones. But what a peculiar image. God has made you a living stone. I think of the time when my friend who is now in glory, Gary Johnson, he told me that he bought his house. Some of you know Judy. She was the secretary years ago. And they bought their house, and there was a foundation crack they found after they purchased it. And they had to lift that house up off of the foundation and remove the foundation and put in a new foundation. That's kind of what it's like to come to know Jesus, isn't it? Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7? He said, "The one who hears my words and obeys is like a person who has built their house on a rock. The one who does not trust in me and doesn't trust in my word is like one who has built their house on what? The sand, and the rains come, and the wind comes and beats against that house. And the ones built on the sand fall, and great is the fall of it. Oh, but the one who does the will of God and trusts in Jesus has built his house on a rock." And I want to proclaim and exalt the name of Jesus this morning. He is our cornerstone. He is our foundation. This morning, what a precious message this is. What precious words are given to us. Quotes all over the Old Testament, especially the passage in Exodus 19. This is apostolic preaching from the Old Testament texts that we get to reapply to our lives this morning. And this is the point. All of the texts about God building His people in the Old Testament, about God building His house, are fulfilled in the name of Jesus Christ, in His person and in His work. And so, I love one of the phrases we're going to read in just a second. The one who trusts in Him, the one who builds their life on Him, shall not be disappointed. Some of you who are house owners, you know what it's like to be disappointed after you buy the house. Can I tell you, if you've been put into the house of Jesus, into the temple of Jesus, the spiritual house, you will never be disappointed with the architecture. You'll never be disappointed with the architect if your eyes are on Jesus. Amen? So let's stand together as we read 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 4 through 10. This is God's word. "As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is God's word. You may be seated. First of all, let us consider our pursuit of Christ. It's very interesting, the words that are written here. It says, as you come to him, or coming to him, a living stone rejected by men. You remember the words that the Lord gives to all who are lost. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened with your sins. And I will what? I'll give you rest. Sometimes we think that was for then, but now, you know, we're stronger. You know, we don't have to be like that anymore. But no, Peter is clearly identifying that the call for Jesus to us, the call to us is to come to me and keep coming. Keep pursuing me. Keep enjoying my embrace. Because you were dead stones, but now come to the living stone who makes you living stones. The only time we see living stones in this world is in children's cartoons when rocks talk to each other, right? It's a very peculiar illustration, but this is an organic stone. And the idea here is, what is Peter saying, you know? Well, the contrast is obviously that stones don't have life. In other words, he's speaking to the nature of all humanity, that by nature and by choice, we are in rebellion against God. We hate God. Coming out of the womb, we speak lies. And this is a very serious condition. And this is why men are proud, because they are self-deceived. Women and children are proud. They think that they really are the center of the universe. And coming to know Christ, our deadness as a stone is turned to life. And Jesus came into this world and put on the nature that looked like a dead stone, but it wasn't dead. He came and put on our nature and was made in the likeness of men, yet without sin. Hallelujah! He didn't come as a dead stone. He came as the living stone, the only one born this way, for his father was not Joseph. That was his stepfather. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of God, his Father, through Mary the Virgin, the miracle birth. Why? Because he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But he calls you, come. You remember that when you were first saved. Maybe you're here today and you are not saved because you have not come to know Jesus. And you can be very religious and be a very dead stone. You can know the Bible well and be around the people of God and be a dead stone. And here this morning, listen to his voice. Come to me and keep coming. pursue Christ. And if you can pursue Christ, that's proof that the grace of Almighty God is working in your heart to convert you. Now, I say this to many people, but hear me well this morning. Do not confuse calling or drawing and conversion. You can be called and drawn by God. There is a general call that goes out to all the world and to every creature and says, come to Jesus. And you may feel struck and cut in your heart to come. And you may confuse that with conversion. Just because you've been convicted does not mean you've been converted. Hear me now. Are you born again? You say, well, I had this experience with God and I prayed and I read the word and it seemed like there was a change, but then it wasn't not sustained. Then you should be very suspicious of that experience. Not that God doesn't love you. Of course he loves you, but be suspicious of your own conversion. Are you born again? Listen, when a person is called by Jesus effectually, his grace becomes beautiful and lovely. And you, as a dead stone, become a living stone. So, here's what you need to understand. If you're here without Christ, if there's any sense of emptiness, a gnawing at your soul, a deadness in your soul, deal with it. Don't put it off. Deal with it. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now, that's to those who may have that deadness in their soul. But to those of you who are truly born again, listen to this call. I want you to listen. He says, those of you who have come to him, a living stone. Who is him? Well, he's just quoted Psalm 34 and verse 8. Look at verse 3 of 1 Peter 2. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is what? Good. Is God good? And all the time, God is good. Amen. When you read that in the Old Testament, you read a lot of times in our English Bible, it's capital L-O-R-D, right? All caps. Why? Because that is the covenant name of God, Yahweh. And so maybe a more precise paraphrase of this word is not just Lord, but Lord God. Because Jesus is not just Lord, little L, master of your life. He should be. But what this text is saying is that, yes, he is Lord, master of your life. But he is Lord God. He will determine your destiny. He created you. And what you do with Jesus determines your eternity. And so if you come to him, the one who you've tasted and seen and trusted that he is good, you've tasted that goodness, that kindness, that mercy, that love, that generosity, that he would give to those who are in rebellion against God a new life, a new start, a new record, a new identity. A new power raised from the dead. Taste and see that he's good. And you've come to him, haven't you? You've come. It's been precious. It's been sweet. Remember when your sins were healed from you. You remember that? Keep coming. Keep drinking from the fountain. Keep coming. Keep coming to him. He's a living stone. Keep touching him and be rid of your deadness. Be rid of it. How do I do that? Four ways. He's called a living stone. He's called a rejected stone. He's called a chosen stone. He's called a precious stone. Jesus is alive. Let's say that. Jesus is alive. Do you know it? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Is he alive? I'm not just saying, has historically Jesus risen from the dead? We know that. He's changed the history of the world. Eyewitnesses were there, 500, more than 500. There was eyewitness evidence. There was real forensic evidence of the resurrection of Jesus that is permissible in a court of law. And even unbelievers who have tried to debate this fact have to yield that there were eyewitnesses and there's no other explanation for them. No collusion could be so powerful that all of these could agree and not one deny it. And so he has historically raised from the dead, but this is more than that. That's a historical fact. Has this life become personal to you? Have you touched the living stone by faith and been born again? Have you? Well, keep coming to that stone for life and life more abundantly. Where are you seeking life right now? The world can never satisfy the deep need of your heart. The deep need of your heart is simply this: communion with God, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Walk with Him. Brothers and sisters, come to Him, pursue Him, make that the center goal of your life. Put away all other things, let them become dull and boring, and let Jesus Christ be the very enthusiastic and exciting thing that you love and that you adore and that you worship. Let Jesus be the living stone, the foundation of your life, a stone that is not dead but constantly breathes life into you. Found your life on Jesus, on everything. That's why, by the way, can I get personal now? You got your hard toe boots on? Because I'm going to address some things that concern me. Not just about our church, but about all churches and about this generation. But it's definitely going to have an impact on you. So listen, people take church so casually. Don't they? I know you say, Pastor Matt, you've been wearing jeans the last 3 weeks and you're one to talk about casualness. Well, I don't want to distract anybody, but listen, whatever you wear, what's important is what is in your heart, right? So what we wear to church, okay, that's one thing, but want to know what is the most important thing? Where do you want to be all the time? Do you want to be, you know, doing your own thing, feeding yourself with the world and all the emptiness in the world? But you do. You know you do. You know you do. Okay? Now listen, stop doing that. And make the times where the church gathers your favorite times of the week. Listen, the only reason you shouldn't be here for Sunday school is if you have some major commitment or if you live an hour away or something like that. And some of you do. So, not judging here, right? But I'm saying if you can, you should be here. The book of John is being exposited in Sunday school. Now, you can say you're connected to the living stone, but don't you want to touch Him? Don't you want to touch Him through the Word? Come to Sunday school and don't stay out in the foyer. Don't stay out there. It's rude. It is so rude. Sometimes I'm sitting in the back row and I hear people talking while the Word is being preached. And I say, what if Jesus was here? Wouldn't you be on your face? As we read this morning, the elders came down and they worshiped Jesus on their face. Now, whenever the Word of God is preached, I don't care what conversation I'm having in the foyer, I'm ending it. And I'm coming in here and I'm listening to the Word of God. Don't be rude to Jesus. Don't be rude. Come in. Receive from the fountain of life. Receive it. Be here. Be here early. You want a fellowship? Don't take 15, 20 minutes of Sunday school hour and talk in the foyer and rob yourself of a blessing. If you want to come for fellowship, come 15, 20 minutes early and fellowship, and then be here 5 minutes early, sitting down, waiting for the Word. Show Jesus respect. What about prayer meeting? You know how sad it is. I come in here. Those who come, I understand it's hard in the middle of the week, but sometimes it's just two or three people in here. And some of you are doing other ministries. You're preaching, you're teaching. That's a valid reason to stay away from the prayer meeting. If you have another meeting that you're discipling people, you're reaching people for Christ, praise the Lord. I hope that we have an empty room every Wednesday because you're all in other places preaching the word for that reason. But what are you doing on Wednesday nights? Can I ask you, what are you doing? What is more important than this place? It's a house of prayer. Is this really a house of prayer? You say, well, I pray at home. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie. You make Jesus' house of prayer a priority. You say, well, our church is struggling. There's this person, that person. They're really struggling. Why don't you pray for them? Well, I can pray for them on my own. Again, don't deceive yourself. When Jesus calls us a house of prayer, it's a place where believers congregate together to pray. You can't do that on your own. You need the body of Christ. You need to be built up as a holy temple. At least there's a couple of amens. Amen. But truly, I speak this to you as one who is continuing to grow. When Jill and I got married, we got married on a Saturday. We went to our honeymoon in Wisconsin. Did we skip church on our honeymoon? What do you think? Absolutely not. When I'm on vacation, do I skip church? No. When my kids are sick, do I skip church? No, I don't. Either I stay or Jill stays back to be with those kids. Unless there's like a tsunami of flu virus and mom needs help. I understand that. That happens. So sometimes it's necessary, but it's very rare that the ox is in the ditch, so to speak, like that. At all costs, unless I'm going to infect the congregation or leave my wife abandoned, I will make sure, and you say you're the pastor, but I did this before I was a pastor. I did this when I was an iron worker. I did this when I was a waiter at Cracker Barrel. I did this when I was working two jobs as a young father. I always came to church. And if the kids were sick, I still came because, not with the sick kids, but I came alone in order to encourage the body, to let them know, pray for my wife, pray for my kids. You should come to church. And everyone here should be involved in a small group. When small group is going on, it's your responsibility. Don't wait for somebody to recruit you. We'll try to recruit you, but don't wait. There's a list of small groups right on our website. There's a list on our church app. Small groups are starting again in September. Get that going. Be connected to Jesus. These are positive ways that you can be connected to Jesus. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, well, this culture and this generation is lazy. There's so many funny songs about the millennials, right? And yet we're slowly becoming a caricature of the millennials, aren't we? We're slowly making excuses, and your connection with Jesus, your pursuit of Jesus, is becoming lukewarm. We're like frogs in the kettle. Be awake, church. Be awake. Pursue Jesus. He's a living stone. He is also a rejected stone. You come to him, a living stone, rejected by men. Jesus came to this world and he was rejected because he was alive. In other words, his spirit was alive, connected to God. There was no measure of the Holy Spirit in him. He was without measure. He had the Holy Spirit without measure. And that made the world very uncomfortable, so much so that they crucified him, right? They crucified him. Can I just ask you this? Sit up straight in your seats and listen to this. If you are following Jesus, you are going to make the world around you uncomfortable. So let me ask you this question. Is the world uncomfortable with your life? Or do you fit right in? Let's be real. Well, you know, I'm at work. I'm there to do work. Yes, you are. But is there such a difference in your life that the people at work would not invite you necessarily? Not because you're a jerk, right? There are Jesus jerks out there who really do not represent Jesus very well. But listen, they're uncomfortable because you're holy. They're uncomfortable with you because you walk with Jesus. Are you rejected stone like Jesus is? Because if you're part of his house and he's building a spiritual house, a temple, and you're part of that, you're going to make the world uncomfortable. So often these kinds of messages are like John 15, you know, God is going to prune his vine, right? And he's going to prune those dead parts of you off. This is the time to prune those dead parts of you off. And now listen to this. It could be that you're just a big dead branch. There's nothing to prune. Your entire nature is dead. And God says in John 15 that those branches that are entirely dead, even though they're in church and they know the word and they know the hymns, but they don't have the life of Jesus in them, they're not going to be rejected by men. Who are they going to be rejected by? God. They're going to be cut off and thrown into the fire. And that's a prophecy not only of Judas, but of everyone who maintains close connections to Jesus and yet is not alive in Jesus. And a good way to know if you are connected to Jesus, if you're part of his living house, his living temple, if Jesus is your cornerstone, is if the world hates you. I mean, they hate you. They might talk nicely to your face, but behind the scenes, they're like, hey, I want the old Tom back. Where's the old Tom Anderson? Man, he used to carouse and curse, but man, he's just some holy roller. And they won't say it, but in their hearts, they hate you, Robin. They hate you. Put your name in the blank. They hate you in their heart, because it's like Jesus came into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And when you come and touch the living Christ and you are born again and you're a living stone, the world does not like the light that proceeds from you, because you can't do the things you used to do. You get to that movie theater door and what you used to be able to accept in terms of media, you can't accept anymore. And you say, no, I can't do this. I'm a follower of Jesus. Your friends ain't going to be hanging out with you very much longer. Because in the world, they hate you. Why? Because they hate Jesus. They like being their own master. They don't want Jesus Christ to be Lord. Another way that you can pursue him as a living stone, pursue him as a rejected stone and be rejected with him. Pursue him as a chosen stone. What does that mean? What was Jesus chosen for? What was he elected to do? What did the Father and the Son in eternity past covenant together? They covenanted redemption, didn't they? Before the foundation of the world, Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? Did you have your hard-toe shoes on again? Do you really want to know what this means? That Jesus is a chosen stone? Do you really want to know? Because you should probably leave so that you won't be held accountable for what you hear. That would be safer than for you to hear and not do what I'm about to tell you to do, because you're going to be held accountable. If you're in Christ and you're alive and you're connected to the living stone, Jesus, this sounds so simple, but Jesus is to be your Savior. That's what he was chosen to do, right? He's to be your Savior. That's not just something we say to lost people and little children. What is your Savior? Where do you go when you're hurting? Oh, now we see. Where do you go when you've been betrayed? Where do you go when you have indignation in your heart and maybe it's legitimate? Where do you go? Have you done this, men? I remember when I was newly married and I thought I was the most spiritual person on planet Earth. My wife offended me, and instead of going to the Savior, you know what I did? This hand hit a wall. And the Lord put a 2x4 right there. And my hand swelled up. I was a missionary raising support Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was in other churches preaching to others. And you know how hard it is to preach with a swollen hand? Ow, Lord, ow. That wall's not my savior. That wall hurt me. And I actually chose myself as the savior in that situation. The wall was a victim. I was trying to be the savior. Right? And maybe you've not balled up your fist and hit a wall, but you know what I'm talking about. When you try to be your own savior. No, listen, Jesus is our savior. Jesus is the chosen one. He's the chosen stone to build our lives upon him as a holy temple, a spiritual temple. Choose Jesus. Pursue him. Choose him to be your savior. Now, this is hard. This is hard. But can I tell you what's harder? The way of the transgressor is hard. It's a whole lot harder to go down the road of bitterness and unforgiveness. It's a whole lot harder to go down the road of empty worldly pleasures and numbing your mind with the world's false philosophies. Don't go down that road. Those are not good saviors. Jesus is a good savior. Amen? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. There are many gods, but there's only one Jesus. There's only one Savior. Many people talk about God, but who's talking about Jesus? Jesus is the manifestation, the image of the invisible God. He's the expositor of the Father. And everything that you see in him, that tells us of the nature of God himself. So if you don't come through Jesus, you don't know God. There is only one true and living God, and he is manifested exclusively through the chosen stone, Jesus Christ. And then there is this title that Jesus is the precious stone. Come to the precious stone, rejected by men, but chosen and precious from God's point of view. And the rejected stone was crucified. He came into a pile of dead rocks, you know, but there was one, he was the one living rock. And they were trying to build their house. The house for their life, the house for the kingdom of Israel. He was to be the king, the ruler. And they tossed that stone out, right? But God said, no. This stone, he picked it up. This stone is the living stone. This stone is my son. He's my beloved son. Hear him. This stone is not dead, but alive. This stone is the cornerstone. I'm building everything on him. Are you building everything on Jesus? Why should you do that? Because he's precious. There's no one like him. He is unique in his character. He has all the attributes of God's goodness. And we have the image of God, but our image is marred. Jesus' image is not marred because he is the prototype of who we should be. He's precious because he gives us access to God. We're going to learn that next week. We're going to learn about all the privileges of coming to the cornerstone. And how we're built up and how we're united with Christ and how we're elected in Christ and we're chosen in him and how we're going to be priests and we have the privilege of access and priesthood and praise and singing the excellencies of his praise everywhere that we go. We're going to learn all of that. Listen, Jesus is precious. What can the world give you really at the end of the day? An empty heart, that's what the world can offer you. Lots of words of promises that cannot be fulfilled. You will be empty at the end of the day if you follow the world or your flesh or the devil. But Jesus is precious. You know why he's precious? Have you sinned today or yesterday or this last week? Have you sinned? Oh, the precious blood of Jesus that washes away all of our sins. You know, about every other day I talk with my friend in Saudi Arabia to encourage him. He has no one. But he saw a vision of the Lord that totally transformed him. And you know, I had this strange idea that maybe he doesn't even struggle with sin because he had this great experience. You know what? Every human being saved by God, no matter where they are in the temple of God, whatever brick they are, if they're a window, if they're a door, if they're a brick, if they're a, you know, Tom, you could explain all the architectural things. But listen, I don't know where you are in the Bible, but you are a sinner. And Jesus is the one who is so precious that he will cleanse you of your sins. And he'll quiet your conscience. Saint of God, are you dealing with guilt? Trying to deal with it the world's way? Don't do that. It's grace. You can go and get forgiveness of your sin, so much so, whoever is forgiven much, they love much. And you know who's forgiven because they have this joy that is in them and this love for God because Jesus is precious. What can wash away my sin? Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He's precious because he forgives our sins. He's precious because he gives us access to the Father. We're all wandering around like orphans and those who have no father. And we've been hurt by our fathers, haven't we? And hurt by our mothers. And we're wandering around with emptiness in our heart. And Jesus is precious because he says, come this way. Let me introduce you to my Father and to your Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And no longer are you like the priests even in the Old Testament who once a year they would go into the Holy of Holies, they would have to put a rope around their foot and put bells around the fringes of their garment because if they did not have the right heart when they entered into the Holy of Holies, the bells would stop ringing. They'd drop dead in the very presence of God. And they'd have to pull them out by a rope. Take the rope off. Brothers and sisters, take the bells off of your garments because you can come boldly before the throne of grace. You have access in to the throne room of God because Jesus is, say it with me, Jesus is precious. He's worth more than gold and silver. Psalm 19 says, he's sweeter than the honeycomb. Oh, dear saint, is Jesus precious to you? So I'm going to end there with point one, because we need to just taste that. We need to taste and see that the Lord is good. But let me leave you with a baffling thing that kind of will tie all of this together. When I talk with my friend from Saudi Arabia, I say, you know, how did you go from being a hate-filled person? I mean, he was so angry and aggressive. He said that was his culture. That's what the Quran taught him. It was to teach him to hate. There was no love there. And he memorized the Quran as a young boy, the whole thing. And it taught him nothing but hate. I said, my brother, what is this? Because you're the most, now that you know Jesus, you're the most gentle, loving, patient man. Some of you got to hear him at our church. You know what he said? my culture is not Saudi Arabia. My culture is not America. My culture is Jesus. My culture is the Bible. And I drink it. And I receive it. And I breathe it. And I become like it. And that's why I can say that one of my best friends in the whole world is someone who grew up worshiping another God. Grew up in a completely different culture. Why do we have such a connection? Why do I love him so much? And why do I love each of you who are so different from one another? We're all different. Why do we love one another? Because our culture is Jesus. Jesus is our cornerstone. And we are his spiritual house. Be in the place that God wants you. You be there. Take this as a final application. Whatever it is that is taking you away from God's temple on the foundation of the cornerstone, cut it off. And I'm not talking about physically being in this place. I'm talking about, are you inviting people from this congregation to your home so that you can love on them and minister to them? Are you going and making a sacrifice? And yes, it is a sacrifice in this busy day and age to be intentional about loving one another and being bonded together in one temple, one house with Jesus as the foundation and Jesus as the cornerstone. Don't let the world be your culture. Don't let your generation be your culture. Don't let your country be your culture. Let Jesus and Jesus alone, who is worthy, let him be your culture. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we ask that you would help us. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Lord, we are prone to be disjointed from this temple that you've put us in. Help us, Lord, to love one another, to be bonded together by your love. And Lord, I pray that love would be so powerful that it would give us energy when we're tired, that it would give us energy when we're hurting and we feel like just exploding. And instead of exploding in anger and rage, that we explode with prayer and praise. Lord, help us. Jesus, you are our cornerstone. Let us breathe you. You are our living stone. Let us taste and see that you are good. Oh, Lord God, Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen.